We're going to spend the next few moments focusing on God's word for us today. This is week six in the final week of a series we've entitled Same God. And what we've been doing for the past 6 weeks, we've been looking in the Old Testament, seeing some amazing miracles that God has done. And collectively, we've been coming to this realization, this idea, this concept that the God who did the miracles way back then does the same thing today and does the same thing tomorrow. Today, we're looking to ask and hopefully answer this question. Where's God when I feel alone in the fire? Now, if you came today looking for hope, for peace, for purpose, for focus to your life, I've got some good news. There is hope found in Jesus. And today, at the end of this message, we're going to give you the opportunity to receive that hope. I'd like for you to grab your phones, pull up the Bible app. I'd like for you to look with me at Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3. We're going to be reading out of the New Living Translation, and if you brought your paper Bible, you can follow along. And if you don't have a paper Bible or the Bible app, we encourage you to bring that with you when you come to Focus Church. We will provide the words up on the screen, but we want you to know the Bible for yourself. We want you to know where to find these stories in the Bible. Now, when you came in today, you should have received some notes where you can follow along with today's message. There's fill in the blanks. These are designed to keep you awake for the next few moments and to let you know how long I'm going to be talking. But if you look at the bottom of your notes, there is homework to do. We want you to read the Bible for yourself. So your homework for this coming week is to read the entire chapter of Daniel chapter 3. We're going to be taking some bits and pieces out of this passage, but it's an amazing story of something awesome God did. And we want you to read it for yourself. And after you read it, send me a quick email saying, Pastor, I understood the assignment, or I did the homework, or whatever you want to write. And I love getting those emails that tells me that you're doing the work. And we appreciate that. You may say, Pastor, I don't know your email address. Well, flip your paper over right at the top. There's my picture. There's my name. There's my email address. And for those watching online, you can do this homework too. Here's the email address, ryan@findfocus.org. Send us an email saying that you read the assignment. And speaking of those watching online, we're excited that you are watching with us. We're glad you are. We want to know who you are. If you wouldn't mind taking a moment right now, could you write in the comments below your name and who's watching with you and tell us where you're watching from? And we appreciate that. And our online host will be greeting you there as well. Okay, Daniel chapter 3. I've got to set up the story of where we're at in history and who the players are. So, a long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away, there was a country known as Israel, and it got conquered by an empire known as Babylon. And they took all the smartest and the brightest young people, the next generation, out of Israel, and they enslaved them, but they also wanted to set them up, because they wanted the smartest people working for Babylon. And there was four young men that were involved that the Bible tracks in the book of Daniel. But in this particular chapter, we're talking about three of them. Their names were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And God had favored them. God made them really smart, and God gave them favor with the king, and he placed them as governors over whole sections of Babylon. I mean, they were put in high positions of authority because God gave favor to them. But the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, he was full of himself. He was admiring all that he had done. He decided to commission a statue, a gigantic statue built of solid gold of himself to be built in the middle of his capital. And he made a decree to go across all the land that when you hear the music play, everyone should stop what they're doing. They should bow down and worship the statue. Now, this was a problem for these three governors, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, because they had to pass on the decree, but they did not agree with that decree. And so the time was going to happen that the music played for the very first time, and the music played, and everyone throughout the whole region, the whole country, they stopped what they're doing. They bowed down, all except three people, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And so some people told on them, told the king, and King Nebuchadnezzar said, bring them to me. I got to see this for myself. And so that's where we pick up today in Daniel chapter 3, starting with verse 14, and here's what it says. Nebuchadnezzar said to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you refuse to serve my gods or to worship the gold statue I have set up? I will give you one more chance to bow down and worship the statue I've made when you hear the sound of musical instruments. But if you refuse, you will be thrown immediately into the blazing furnace. And then what God will be able to rescue you from my power? Now Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. But even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you, your majesty, that we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue you have set up. Nebuchadnezzar was so furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that his face became distorted with rage. He commanded that the furnace be heated up 7 times hotter than usual. Then he ordered some of the strongest men of his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So they tied them up and threw them into the furnace, fully dressed in their pants, turbans, robes, and other garments. And because the king, in his anger, had demanded such a hot fire in the furnace, the flames killed the soldiers as they threw the 3 men in. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, securely tied, fell into the roaring flames. Let's pray. God, I pray that as we unpack your word for us today, that you would speak to us, that we would understand we are not alone when we take a stand. In Jesus' name we all said, amen, amen. I would like for you to let me know if you've ever heard this phrase before by showing me with a raised hand, out of the frying pan and into the, you've heard this? Yeah, some of you have heard this, yeah. And what does that simply mean? It simply means that, hey, I'm in a tough spot and I just got into a worse spot. And you know what? Sometimes our lives are like this. That it seems like everything is going well and we're on track, and all of a sudden out of nowhere, it's like, whoa, where did this come from? Why am I dealing with this? This is not what I ever imagined. And then it doesn't seem to get better, but it gets worse. That's our lives sometimes. And let me tell you, whenever we're facing a temptation, a trial, a tribulation, a test, or just whatever situation, it feels like we're in fire. And when we find ourselves in a situation like this, you know what? We tend to feel like we're alone. And no one likes to be alone. I mean, some of us are introverts and we're like, we like our alone time, right? I'm going to represent here. Like, I like my alone time, but you know what? There's times to get lonely. You know why? We're designed to need people in our lives. We can't just be hermit crabs. We can't just go hide away from the world and disappear forever. We are designed to be in relationship with other people and even God. But when it comes to understanding the pain of what it's like to be alone, let me just tell you, I'm a trauma survivor in this area. Why? Because in first grade, I was left alone for too long. I'm very traumatized by this. So back in first grade, I was about this high and went to a Christian school in Florida. Is where we were living at the time. And at the school, they were highlighting the fifth graders. The fifth graders were going to have this flag football game against another town, another school. It was going to be at this park in the neighboring community. And they encouraged all the students that you need to come support the fifth graders. I think they were calling it homecoming game, even though we were elementary kids, right? But we wanted to go support it. And I came home and I'm like, Mom, we have to go support the fifth graders in their flag football game. I got to go. I got to be a fan. I got to cheer them on. They might not win if I'm out there, Mom. And my mom was like, Ryan, I want you to be able to go. That's great, but I can't. I am not able because I can't pick you up. And so I arranged with a friend with this mom for them to take me and for them to take me home. And so my mom was okay with this. And I got to go to the game. And it was great. It was exciting. It was fun. And I don't know if our team win. It was just exciting to see them run after each other and grab the flags. I mean, it was good. And I like to think I helped them win, but I can't tell you what the score was. But here's what I can tell you is that the game finished. You know, they shook hands. The parents grabbed their kids. They all started leaving the park, and they all got into their cars, and they all drove away, including my friend and his mom. And I was a first grader, and I'm looking around, and I don't realize what's going on until all of a sudden I'm kind of like, my eyes open up, and I see there is not a single another person in this park. I don't recognize this park. I don't know where I'm at. This is in a neighboring community. I am all alone. And at first I'm like, okay, don't panic. And then like a minute later, I started panicking. Like, what am I going to do? Like, how am I going to help it? But you know what? It was at this moment that I really wished that they issued cell phones to first graders in prehistoric times. Yeah, they didn't exist. I was alone, and I had no way to contact my mom. I couldn't even name the mom that was supposed to pick me up. I was looking for any other person in the park. There was no one there. I started thinking about all these houses that are lining the park. Which one am I going to knock on the door? And all I could hear in the back of my head, stranger danger, don't talk to strangers. I'm like, great, like, what do I do? And it killed me to be alone, to be lost, to be forgotten, to be left. And what's worse, I'm like, I don't think this can get any worse. I had to go to the bathroom. And there were no restrooms in the park. So this is like horrible. And I'm sure I was there for days in that park. But I was told it was only 45 minutes. Only 45 minutes! A first grader by themselves alone in the park. Yes, I am traumatized. I'm still recovering. Thank you. But here's the deal. I was alone, and it was awful. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're in a tough spot here. They're with the king, and yes, they already didn't bow down when the music played, and the king's like, hey, you got one more shot. Right now, we can fix this all because I like you guys. I'll give you another chance. When the music plays, bow down, and everything's good. You can keep going back to your job. But it's interesting because Nebuchadnezzar also taunted them, saying, what God do you believe in? It doesn't matter. He is not able to say, there is not even any God who can save you from the power that I have. I can kill you. So they had a choice to make. And at the risk of losing everything, these three men stood alone and wouldn't bow down. Talk about a hard thing to do, to go against everything and everyone, to stand for what is right under threat of death. Now, 4 years ago, National Geographic had a show that was called Brain Games, and they wanted to highlight different ways that our brains are wired to work. And so they set up an experiment because they had this theory, and they wanted to prove it right or prove it wrong. So they set up a fake eye doctor's office, and they put out ads out there to say you could do exams, that you get a free eye exam if you come. But what they did is they staged everyone in the lobby, in the chairs in the waiting room, as actors. And they had one person come in that had responded to the ad, and so she was given a 12 o'clock appointment. She checked in with the receptionist, and the receptionist said, okay, we got you. We'll call you when it's your turn in line. Go ahead and have a seat. And there was only one seat open in the room. The rest were filled up with actors, okay? And they had hidden cameras everywhere. And so they're waiting in the waiting room, and a few minutes pass, and all of a sudden this bell rings, ding! And when the bell rings, every one of those actors stood up and sat back down. And the lady's like, what's going on? I mean, like, they're showing close-up shots of her. Like, what's going on? And a few minutes later, guess what? Ding! And all the actors stand up, and they sit back down. Again, they're showing close-up shots of this lady, and she's like, trying to figure out what's going on. And a couple minutes later, ding, and all the actors stood up, and then guess who else stood up? The lady stood up with them and sat back down. And for about 20 to 30 minutes, every couple of minutes, ding, They all stood up, including the lady, and sat back down. No one talked about it. No one said anything. They're all just doing it. And the people who are producing the show, they're like, we can't believe she's actually doing it. So they change it up. Here's what they do. They start calling in the actors like it's time for their appointments. And so with each bell ring, there's less people in the waiting room. Ding! All getting up, sitting back down. And it gets to where there's only one person left in the waiting room, and it's the lady who has the appointment who doesn't know what's going on. And guess what? Ding! And she stands up and sits back down. And they're like freaking out, like, no way! She's doing it. And they keep on doing it. And she keeps on standing up and sitting back down, and there's no one in the waiting room. So like, we're going to change this up again. And they bring in another guy from the outside who is not an actor, but he's coming for an appointment too. He comes into the waiting room, and she begins explaining to him, hey, there's going to be a bell that rings, and whenever you hear this bell, stand up. And so then the bell rings, ding! They both stand up, and they sit back down. You see, what they had proved with their experiment is this wiring that we have in our brains is that we like to be together. We like to be with others. We want to do what everyone else is doing. And so we'll give up what is right. We'll give up what makes sense in order to be with everyone. We're talking about peer pressure here. Peer pressure is real. Why does it work? Because we don't like to be alone. So we give up, we give in, we bow down. But here is what these three guys knew, that God was with them. They believed that God could save them. And even if he didn't, they still wouldn't bow down. You see, here's the thing. Many generations before these three young men, there was a guy by the name of Josh who was raised up and called by God to be the leader of the people of Israel to replace Moses. And I believe these three guys knew the story of Joshua because Joshua got a commandment from God that made all the difference in his life. And I believe it was not just a commandment. It was not just a promise for Joshua. It was a promise for every generation that would come after Joshua. And I really think by the actions of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that they followed this. And here's what God said to Josh. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, God speaking to him said, this is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. That was a promise of God. They would not be alone. You see, no matter what we face, we are never alone. And I think that Joshua understood this, and I think generations later, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they understood this because he was the same God, that he didn't change, and that if he was there with Joshua, he's going to be there with them. And that's why they knew that they could stand up, that when they stood up, they were not alone because God was with them. But I want you to think, they got thrown in. We left Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They've been thrown into the fiery furnace that was 7 times hotter. That actually killed the strongest soldiers in the Babylonian army. Because remember, he asked for the strongest soldiers to bind their hands and feet, to tie them up. And they got killed by the flames of how hot this was. This reminds me of growing up and visiting my grandparents in Georgia. They had a farm. And every year on the farm, they would always have this period of time where they'd clean up the farm, clean up all the brush, find all the wood pellets, and find whatever burns, and create this huge, gigantic bonfire. And I remember helping with this, and it was so much fun. It was gigantic, huge. And then they would light it up on fire, and I'm thinking, yes, roasted marshmallows, s'mores, it's going to be great. And then realize, I can't even get near the fire. You ever been to a bonfire that hot and so big that you actually can't even use it? Because it's so hot, the heat just goes away from that. And so you have to kind of watch a big bonfire from afar. And here we are, Nebuchadnezzar is seeing, yeah, I'll show these three guys what God's going to save them now. Throw them in! But somehow he sticks around and watches. And I don't know if there's a big window, if it's an opening or something, but it says that Nebuchadnezzar can see in to this furnace. And then, suddenly, verse 24, Nebuchadnezzar jumped up in amazement and exclaimed to his advisors, "Didn't we tie up three men and throw them into the furnace?" "Why, yes, your majesty, we certainly did," they replied. "Look," Nebuchadnezzar shouted, "I see four men unbound, walking around in the fire, unharmed, and the fourth looks like a god." What? You know, we sing a song around here that says, "There's another in the fire standing next to me." And what that song is talking about is two things. One is talking about this story, that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown into the fire literally, and God was with them. But it also speaks that no matter what fire you walk through, no matter what test, temptation, tribulation, whatever it is that you face that's bigger than you, you are not alone. You know, how can we know this? Because this is who God is. He made a promise to Joshua that carried over to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and it carries over to today, and it'll carry over to tomorrow. You know why? Because Hebrews 13:8, this has been our key verse, our key scripture for this whole series, same God, it says this: Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And it's important for us to understand this, that we can know what the Bible says, but we gotta know it down here in our heart, that it permeates everything we do, that no matter what situation you face, that it comes out that the God of yesterday is the God of today, and he'll be the God of tomorrow, and he can help you. But we got to understand the scripture, Hebrews 13:8. And so that's why, for our final time this series, we're going to say this out loud together. You ready? Here we go. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Again, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Louder. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's right. He's the same. He never changes. His power is just as great as it was before, as it is today, as it will be for your future. He's not diminishing. He's not like a battery that goes bad after 10 years that you've held in storage. No, he's the same God. And if he did it before, if he's helped you before, if he's helped someone in the Bible before, he can help you with your situation. I mean, and this miracle that God did is dealing with literal fire. And if God can do a miracle with literal fire, do you think he can take care of your situation? Whatever you are facing, no matter what you're going through, yes, he can. So this is what we need to decide today. We need to come to this understanding, to be able to claim this as our own, this statement, that I will trust in the same God who was in the fire to be there for me no matter what I face. I mean, talk about a miracle that took place with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And the Bible describes that somehow Nebuchadnezzar got them out of the fire. And this actually seems a little comical to me. I mean, think about it in a moment. 7 times hotter than it was. The soldiers who just threw them in died because of the flames. Nebuchadnezzar is watching, and somehow he has a window, but that means he's got to be far enough back to look in. And when he peers into the fiery furnace, he sees 3 guys walking around. No, a fourth guy that looks like a god walking around, and they must be doing something. I think they're praising Jesus. And the next thing is they got them to come out of the fire. So he's like, hey, come on, hey, get out of there. Come on, we're trying to open the door. Just undo the latch. It's unlocked. Come on. I mean, comical. They somehow get them to come out. And mind you, they walked straight out. They no longer had any ropes tied around them. I mean, the Bible was very clear that they got the strongest soldiers to bind their hands and feet as they tossed them in, and the ropes weren't there anymore. They saw them with their own eyes walking around. And then, remember the Bible noted how they were dressed when they went in? That they had their pants, that they had their robes, that they had their turbans. They had all their clothes on. And they looked at their clothes, and not a single piece of clothing was burnt. They looked closer at these guys and realized not a hair on them has been singed. And then this is kind of funny, this little detail. They smelled them. They don't smell like smoke. We're talking a literal miracle here. This doesn't normally happen. But he's the same God. And if he can pull off something like that, whatever you're facing's little. That he can defy logic. He can defy physics. He can defy science. Why? Because he's the creator and he's all powerful. That he can do anything. And there's no problem that's too big. Remember, no matter what you are facing, no matter what you go through, whether you're facing something right now or you're about to be facing it, we got to remember this. You are not alone. He hasn't forgotten about you. He hasn't left you. He hasn't forsaken you. He's still there, and he cares. You know, this past Wednesday was a holiday, one of my favorite holidays of the year. Can anyone guess what holiday was this past Wednesday? May the 4th, right. Star Wars Day. I love Star Wars. I grew up with Star Wars, and May the 4th is a great Star Wars Day, and apparently they're trying to stretch it to be multiple days and everything because this is the May. And yeah, that was a bad joke. And so there's always memes, things that come out, and, you know, talking about May the 4th be with you, and that's a play on the quote from the movie, May the Force be with you, and it was a greeting, or it was a salutation, or it was a, hey, see you later, may the Force be with you, may the Force go with you, and it's something that's part of the movies, and so when they celebrate May the 4th, it kind of sounds like that. But you know what, this week, as I was studying Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I realized, wait, this can take on a whole new meaning that's way more important in our lives. That what if we could encourage each other by saying, may the 4th be with you. Who's the 4th? The one who looked like God in the fiery furnace. May the 4th be with you. May the 4th be with you. No matter what you face, no matter what you're doing, may the 4th be with you. Let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. Let's talk to God for a moment as we wrap this up. God, we're so thankful that you are the same God, that you are the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and forever, that your power doesn't wane, your care for us, your love for us, it doesn't change. And God, we need to know this, not just have the mental knowledge of it, but have the heart knowledge of this, knowing that you are there. And that you can do anything, that no matter what we face. And God, I believe that there are people here in this room, there's people that are watching online who would say, Pastor, I'm in a fire right now. It's like I was in the frying pan and I jumped into the fire and just bad just got worse. And I feel alone. God, I pray that you would help them know that you're there right now and that you care. Help them feel your presence. Help them feel your peace. God, I pray that you would show them how you can work things out. God, I pray that you would help our belief, our faith to grow as we look to you as our source, as we wait upon you, as was done in the song and the dance that happened a moment ago. Help us, God, to trust you. Help us to trust you like these three young men did, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We love you, God. Thank you for never leaving us alone, in Jesus' name. And while our heads are still bowed, our eyes still closed, I'm reminded that a few moments ago I said that if you came today looking for hope, we said hope is found in Jesus, and we give you the opportunity to receive that hope later on, and here we are. God loves you so much. It's not an accident that you are here today. It's not an accident that you are watching online today. God loves you. And he cares about you, and you are not alone. You may have been feeling some emptiness inside, and you've been searching, trying to figure out. You may have been looking for answers in the wrong places, but let me tell you, what you've been looking for is the hope that is found in Jesus, that only he can satisfy. Why? Because just like we saw how the human brain is wired to be together, we are wired to be with God. And so our soul longs for relationship with him. But here's the issue. We are born with sin. We are born to do wrong. And we are born with an eternal punishment over our heads of spending eternity apart from God in hell. Unless we are forgiven of our sins. We cannot ever be good enough to earn that forgiveness. Nothing we do will satisfy the requirement because God is a holy God. But God loved you and he loved me so much that before we were even born, God sent his son Jesus to pay the price for us. Because he lived on this planet, because he lived a perfect life, when he died, he did not die for his sins. He died for our sins, for my sins, for your sins. And because he did that, we can now experience forgiveness because the price has been paid. But we got to claim it. We got to say yes to God. We got to go in. You may say, Pastor, how do I do that? Well, there's two parts to this. The first part involves having a conversation with God. We call it prayer. And the second part includes showing everybody else about that prayer publicly. We call that baptism. But in that first part, that's what we're talking about right now, that this prayer, this conversation with God, it's got to include three things. One, recognizing that we're not worthy, that we're not good enough. We got to say, I'm sorry. Secondly, we got to believe. We got to believe that God loved us, that he sent his son Jesus, that he paid the price with his life, and we got to claim that that was for me. And thirdly, we got to go all in and say, God, I'll follow you. I'm going all in with you. I'm going to make you the boss of me. And the Bible says when you have that conversation with God, when you pray that prayer, that everything changes. In that moment, you are set free. In that moment, you are forgiven. In that moment, you become a part of God's family. In that moment, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. In that moment, you can know that you know that you know that you're going to heaven when you die. In that moment, the Bible describes that all the angels in heaven stop what they're doing. They throw a party because another one's come home. And that's why we sing, Hell Lost Another One, because I am free. We are free of the bondage of sin and death because we're made into new life. God gives us a new life, but we got to pray. This is a personal thing, something we do, and we want to help you with that today. And then we want you to follow up with that and by letting everybody else know publicly that this already took place, and that's why we get baptized right after. Step one, step two. But right now, I want to lead you in that prayer. We're going to make it easy. You see, I'm going to pray that prayer in bite-sized pieces out loud, and I'm going to encourage you to pray that out loud, repeating after me. But you're not going to have to pray this alone. No one's going to think anything of it. As a matter of fact, I'm going to make everybody in the room, everyone who's a part of the Focus family, to pray this prayer with us, because this is what we do at Focus Church. We are focused on helping people reach. And so, let's pray. Say, dear God, I'm sorry. I believe you love me so much. You sent your son Jesus to pay the price for me. I want to live for you with you in charge. Give me hope. Give me freedom. Bring focus to my life. In Jesus' name, amen.